Maybe we could put maybe 3 ports up there, and, you know, or even 4 ports, you know. We have, what, total of 8 ports on the International Space Station right now. So, you know, multiple ports, and then, yeah, we could have 2 starships for SpaceX and two other ones by Blue Origin, as they plan on participating. There's another company called Dynetics. They have a vehicle all planned out, ready to go. So they'll be probably submitting their paperwork to NASA. Yeah, so have, you know, 2 of each. I agree. Ed, over to you.
It's always a good idea to have a lot of options. However, it does take some, you know, dedicated, you know, thinking to figure out which option is the best. You can always choose a bad option. So the idea is to have as many options as possible, but don't blindly follow the wrong one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Two of the same vehicles work out. You know, we had 2 Pioneer vehicles that first exited the solar system. They were identical. Yeah, Pioneer 10 and 11, and one of them failed before the other one. I mean, they both did great, but eventually one failed. Voyager, of course, that's well known, Voyager 1 and 2. So, you know, they would do things with one and realize what they can do and get away with, and then they could actually do the same with the other one or do something different in case something wasn't just right. Yeah, it's always good to have similarity, so, yeah, maybe they'll do that, you know, I mean, you know, but, you know, how far would they stretch it, you know? Ideally, I'd like to have 2 from 1 company and 2 from the other, based on what you guys said, but of course, then, you know, money comes into play. I mean, that's the reason they only had one in the first place. They thought they were going to have 2 separate companies in the first place. But NASA said, well, we only have enough money for one. They gave the contract to SpaceX. But now, as time went on, they're starting to realize they could use some of this infrastructure bill for the space program. So now I think they know they can now probably afford it. Any other comments?
Well presented answer. Thank you very much. Carry on.
Okay, and yeah, thanks for your comment. Point well taken. And you too, Ed. And for now, I'm looking at the clock. Let me turn it over to Roy. We'll be back tomorrow night. We always have the ClubNet and Swap and Shop tomorrow night. InfoNet starts at 8 o'clock on these repeaters. Roy, over to you. AC2GS, WS2N, for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet.
Yes, indeed. This is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do here on the technical net and for all that you do for the club. Everyone does appreciate it, especially myself. And thanks to everyone who participated tonight. I thought it was going to be a real quiet Columbus Day weekend episode, but Jim came through, and a lot of other people had interesting comments and a lot of thought-provoking information back and forth, so I want to thank everyone. I want to remind people that if you, for one reason or another, would like to contact me, my email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you want to contact Paul, that's spacenetreport@gmail.com. If you want to look at my link page, a lot of interesting YouTubes and articles, what have you, that's available 24/7. You just type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com. And We have an audio stream of Glen Oaks Repeater 24/7. Just type into your browser for that, technet.ac2gs.com. And, of course, I always like to remind people, Mike, KC2NJI, has an archive of these technical nets going as far back as September 2006. His site is amateurradio.tv, so take a look and listen to the wisdom of the ages. Some people who participated in the past have moved away and retired. Others have passed away and become silent keys, but their wisdom remains frozen in these files for you to listen. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, once again, have a great Columbus Day tomorrow. Have a good week. And please come back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we'll try and do this all over again. As Dick, K2RIW, almost every time ended the technical net, be kind to each other. It's good advice in general. It's great advice these days. We live in weird, dangerous times, so take care of yourself and take care of each other. And I always like to throw out good old Epictetus's great quote, "It's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows." So please keep that in mind and learn more stuff and bring it here. So thanks to everyone. I wish you well. And that's calling an end to this episode of the Limemark Technical Net. And I am clear.
Hello, Paul, if you still have a moment. WS2N, WB2BXO via Echo Link.
Yet I'm still learning. K2SDP.
Hi, Frank and Chris. I hear you, Frank. How are you doing? Sound good through Echo Link. Wow. Back to you, WS2N.
Okay, I think you also acknowledged the station that doubled with me. I think you heard us both. Doing well. Echo Link didn't seem to be connected for a couple of weeks, and we were back on last week, but I didn't have a chance to jump in. I'm wondering if you saw a very interesting New York Times Magazine article entitled "The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence is About to Get Interesting." It's on the Sunday Read portion of the New York Times Daily podcast today, and which is free, and the article itself is behind the paywall in the Times. If you have access to it, you can get it one of those two ways. Anyway, very interesting article. Apparently NASA's doing some modest funding now for a couple of lines of research and looking for ETs. I'm sure you're familiar with this, biosignatures and technosignatures. And it looks like they're going to have JWST take a look at TRAPPIST-3 Echo. Apparently that planet has some potential. Go ahead.
WB2EAV.
Okay, hi, Ed. We all sound. I haven't seen that yet, Frank, but I will try to bring it up. Every time I go to the Times, they want me to sign up. So, you really can't read the article. But I'll look for it. No problem. By the way, Frank, remember you told me about that movie, the series that was on for All Mankind? I was telling you about a book. Sure enough, I did have that book on my shelf for All Mankind. Of course, it has nothing to do with the movie series. It actually has to do with the landing of the moon. Just to let you know. I heard Chris first, so we'll go to Chris. K2SDP, WS class.
Thanks, Paul. I just wanted to thank Roy for what he does. You guys can go ahead. K2STP.
Okay, Roy, did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Okay, did you hear Chris?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, very well. Yes, Ed, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, by the way, I've said this many times, Roy shows the patience of a saint. Unfortunately, he's the wrong religion to put him up to sainthood, but we'll just gloss over that. Now, in any event, the only thing that's really changed is now that they're discovering new planets, like, every day, that has to have some effect on the search for life elsewhere in the universe. Although, I don't think, and by the way, I have not seen the article, but I could if I tried, I guess. I do have an online subscription to the Times, so the paywall is a problem for me, but I'm just reading it right here. And my question is, they mention intelligent life, because right now, every time I turn on the news, I ask myself, are we sure there's intelligent life on this planet? Over the ball.
Yeah, I realize that. Can you imagine aliens looking back at us? And we wonder why they don't make contact with us. They want nothing to do with this place. There's billions of other planets. We'll go find those. They're making a lot of progress. The Kepler telescope discovered, thousands of planets. Now we have the satellite that was launched by SpaceX, NASA satellite, looking for planets that are relatively close. Kepler was staring at one area, 15,000 light years away, where TESS is looking at just 200 light years away. That's as far as they're looking. And TESS has already found 6,000 somewhat possible planets that might exist. They've already confirmed, I think I just read 260 of them are now confirmed. And then out of those, then they have to figure out, what kind of gases are coming off the planet. They always thought methane would be the most important thing if they could find methane. And they're even working on a couple of other different gases that they want to be able to detect. And if you point the James Webb Space Telescope at these planets that are already confirmed, they might be able to get a read on that, because that thing is much more sensitive. So, I don't know. One day, might be tomorrow, might be, 100 years from now, they're going to come up with an answer, They'll say, hey, there's something out there. Now they just have to figure out how to get there and say hello. Frank, I'm going to turn it over to you on Echo Link, WB2BXO, WS1.
Yeah, okay, very good, Paul. The reason I came across the article is because I get the subscribe to the New York Times daily podcast, and on Sunday they do something called the Sunday Read, which is articles from the AUDM app. And this week's was an article from apparently the New York Times Magazine, and I think I have the title right. I don't have it in front of me right now. Was the search for extraterrestrial life is about to get interesting. Maybe it's more interesting, but anyway, if you search on it, you'll find it. And Chris can obviously get the article if he has a real prescription, but the podcast is free, so you can listen to it. Kind of interesting. The podcast encourages you to subscribe, but you don't have to subscribe to get the podcast. I guess in marketing terms, it's primarily a lead gen for generating subscriptions. But anyway, what I found interesting is they mentioned briefly the planned study of TRAPPIST-3e, and you'd think it would be a relatively simple observation to look at the spectrum of the so-called red edge. I don't think they mentioned that term in the article, but I've seen it elsewhere, to see what's in number, first of all, if TRAPPIST-3e has an atmosphere, and second of all, what's in the atmosphere to look for biosignatures. Also, of course, techno signatures is a different observation, looking for a signature of things like sodium lights, and, of course, radio buzz. But apparently, astronomers feel it's going to, once they get the data down from JWST, it's going to take something on the order of 3 years of analysis to figure out what's going on and whether there's potentially anything there. And I think they expect that subsequent analyses will take less time once they've done it once and figure out how to do it. Go ahead.
Paul?
Yeah, the TRAPPIST group, I think it was seven planets, I think, that they found in orbit around one particular star. I think it was last week or the week before they found an online article. I think it was on the physics.org site, and they talked about laughing gas. They plan on looking for that in different planets. They think that might be. They went through some chemistry of how this possibly could be created. But they want the James Webb to look at those, look for that signature as well. But between all of this stuff, I mean, they've come a long way from years ago. You know, growing up, we didn't know that there were, for sure, if there were any planets outside of our solar system. Now that they know there's thousands. They know that every star that you're looking at probably has at least one planet. So, I don't know. With our radio receivers and all, you'd think they would have picked something up by now. But who knows? I know Arecibo had the transmission back in the 1990s. They actually transmitted the signal, hoping that some alien group would hear it and eventually send the signal back. But they didn't. After that, they cut it off. It was around, 1992, Congress cut the funding altogether for SETI. So leaving it up to private companies to try to search for signals, radio signals. But no more government money for that. We'll see someday, you know. It'll be headlines in the Times, you know, signal discovered. WS2N. Not sure who's going to pick it up.
Paul, by the way, I emailed you a gift link to that New York Times article, so it's in the email.
Really? Very good, Roy. Thank you. That's going to save a lot of searching for me. I'm not the best searcher. Thanks, Roy. Okay. Any other comments before I sign? Okay. One of these days I'll figure out how to talk longer than an hour without losing my voice. It used to be a lot worse. I used to eat a million cough drops. And the ones I had were the menthol ones, you know. And I read online, I don't know if this is true. Roy, you would know if you're still listening, that it could cause, if you eat too many of these things, you could actually create a laryngitis situation. So, I quit that quite a few years ago. And, I last a little bit longer, but I don't know, after about an hour, that's it for me. I'll never make it as a politician. Any other comments?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead, and you do great, by the way. I watched both of your presentations. I saw them live. I didn't watch the recordings. And I don't know how you keep going like that, but you do very good, Ed. Back to you.
Old business first, although you destroyed my train of thought. I forgot what I was going to say. It wasn't important. I was just going to make a very unimportant point. I'm glad you like that. Oh, I'm about losing your voice. So just tell Roy you're limiting yourself to 45 minutes. That's all. That's problem solved. And I'm glad you like that. But no, my tremendous surprise. I'm actually pretty good at that stuff. And I really enjoy it. So maybe that's my secret. I'm having too much fun to stop.
Yeah, you did. You did look like you were having fun. You were good at that. Very well done. All right, I'm gonna sign that, and we'll catch you later. I have a presentation up on that site as well, all about the space station. So that worked out very good. Now that we have our own channel, the Limelight channel, Limelight YouTube channel. okay, if anybody has any other last comments, I'll listen. If not, I'm going to say 73.
I got a question for you, Paul.
Yes, Ed, go.
My greatest presentation that I gave to a professional, by the way, those two presentations were based on a presentation I did a number of years ago, a professional group, and then I gave a modified version closer to what you saw at Ham Radio University a year before COVID. Boy, I know it was there. But my favorite one had to do with what was the story with the 737 MAX 8. But it really has nothing to do with Ham Radio.
Very good. And, I think you made that announcement during that presentation that you had given a similar one somewhere else. Okay, that was at Ham Radio University. I've got to get to one of those. I went to the very first one. But, nothing since. All right. I'm going to say 73, guys. We'll catch you either during the week or next week. WS2N will be clear for tonight.
Good night. WS2N.
WB2EAV. This is KD2VHD, Jim in Bayport.
Hey, Jim. Hope I didn't upset you with any of my comments.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say to you. I hope I didn't upset you with any of my comments. So, I gather we're good.
Oh, yeah. Actually, at what point I wanted to say something that with you. Yeah, that's it exactly, but I never got the chance. Now, listen, it takes a lot to upset you. I'm not saying no one's ever done it, but they're pretty few and far between, and you're not even, the meter doesn't even move off the pin.
I concur in the opposite direction entirely. I just wanted to respectfully mention that because I'm the new buck on the block, and I recognize that. And I was a little over the line there, putting you on the spot. I didn't want you to take it personally.
Not remotely. I didn't even stand out. I don't even recall being challenged. Refresh my memory.
It was about the issue on the scientific method and trust the science, and that scientists don't trust the science. That's the whole point. It was something like that. It was a vague scientific/vaguely political thing that I hope I didn't offend you on.
No, not at all. First of all, I don't have anything invested in that. I mean, my point is, that's my take on it. If someone who really knows, or if it turns out that I'm completely wrong, I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, now I know. It's not like I have any it's just I've come across it. I've worked on stuff. I remember once at work, the Union Pacific Railroad, I worked for a company that had two product lines. I was working when we were designing receivers for the FAA, and another one was doing railroad safety products. And the Union Pacific Railroad said, we're looking for you guys to run some blue sky tests, and I ended up getting drafted into that. So we went out to Nebraska to take some measurements. Then we built up some equipment to go with the measurements, and of course we pulled out to Nebraska to see if we got it right. I mean, this is true with everything. Although, to be silly, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. So I guess that applies here too.
Agree on all points. I enjoyed our interaction tonight again as usual. Thank you for that.
I enjoyed it immensely, and don't worry about challenging me. I'm fine with that. I am secure in what I know and what I don't know, and if I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. And so, you know, knowing that, that's not the way to upset me. Like I said, people have upset me, but that's not how they do it.
Understood.
Again, I was worried I might have upset you, but maybe you have a thicker skin than I gave you credit for.
Oh, I have a very thick skin. Indeed. No sweat here at all. I both respect and appreciate your commentary and your wisdom.
You have any idea how many decades it took me to get this right?
I've got a pretty good idea.
All right, you know what? It's getting late. I know what I'm going to do. First of all, my batteries, you can see the batteries are running down, so I better sign before the rig shuts off on me. But that WB2 EAV will be clear. Have a very pleasant what's left of the evening.
7-3, you too. KD2BHD, on to the next participant. I had a great night tonight. Good job, Roy.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure. And by the way, one of the major aspects of the scientific method is you always test, test, and retest. People are still testing relativity to this day.
Even trying to figure out what gravity actually is. Yes, indeed. I concur completely with your comment.
Yeah, that's why it works. We don't trust even our brilliant, most brilliant scientists, even if we've proved them right a dozen times. We go to the second dozen and the third dozen. And it's the method that works. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, who are anti-science for what strikes me as rather irrational reasons, defensive, paranoid, I don't know exactly what's going on. But science, for the good and for the bad, has gotten us to the technological peak that we exist in this day. So I think it's been doing a good job, personally, despite us.
It certainly is a useful tool in our exploration of the place we are. I was going to send a personal comment, but maybe it's more relevant here. I've enjoyed our interaction on the air and elsewhere, and I'd like to say something very interesting. It's interesting how much we're different and how much we're similar, both as a group and as individuals. Your thoughts on that? Over to Roy.
Well, yeah, I mean, diversity is where you get your opinions challenged and have to rethink things. And if we're all of one mind, it gets rather boring. And in another way, we do have commonality. If we weren't interested in amateur radio, we would just be talking to ourselves here.
Agreed. I suppose my, not rebuttal, but addition to that is, let us talk about interesting things.
I endeavor to do that at most, if not all times. I don't really like small talk, but you know, sometimes the guy on the other end of the radio wants to do small talk.
Indeed. Understood.
Okay. Have a great night, Jim. Have fun if you're doing anything special for Columbus Day. And hopefully I'll talk to you again next Sunday when we do this all over again.
You too. Enjoy. And to all who are interested, Columbus is an interesting story. But if you ask why he was on the mission he was on, not what he did, not where he went, not who funded him, not where he came from, but what was the mission? Interesting story. KD2VHD, Jim in Bayport. I'll be listening for further commentary.
Okay, I'm going to call it a night. Both of our brains are partially shutting down. I sense. So this is AC2GS wishing everyone a great Columbus Day, and we'll talk again down the line. This is AC2GS, third time's the charm. I am clear.